Yeah, well, it's only us three on here at the moment. You know, our other panel will be on shortly. I just wanted to say to everybody, I'm back in training again for today. I won't be on all day. But today I was talking about how Trump was threatening the people. Man, he was talking about, you know, well, one, he said that he ain't going to tell Putin to do nothing but double down on Ukraine. Double down on Ukraine. Tear their head off, right? And then he got on his, let's see, what else did he say? Oh, yeah, he said that, you know, he's going to make America great again. And I know America ain't been great yet, but he's going to make America great again. And he was talking threatening accusations to America, right? He was saying that, you know, he's not going to help NATO, you know, the other constituents of the United States or allies of the United States. If they got something coming, they're going to get it, you know. And he's just been talking a lot of trash. And how does this man even still be on a ballot? How does this man even still be in a conversation of being the next president? How? And then the other thing is old Biden, I've seen him, man. They gave away $90 billion in a foreign, what was it? It was a foreign package that they had for Ukraine and Israel and one other country, right? I didn't pay too much attention to it. I caught it last night as I was going to sleep on the news, and it made me sit up. And I really didn't get too much on that, right? But maybe one of you callers seen more than I did and can speak to that. But my topic is, how does Trump still sit and stand where he's at without having to, you know, pay his taxes, without having to finish his trial? You know, he's in a couple of trials, he's in a couple of lawsuits, he's in a lot, right? And so no one sent me a topic, and I didn't have one today. I'm trying to study. I got a 15 minute at 9:25. I got to be right back in this training. So I just wanted to put that out there. If you have something else that you would like to talk about, that'd be good. But yeah, Trump is a mother. When I pass the mic.
Okay, so in my perspective about why he's still in the forefront is because he echoes what a lot of people, the fear that a lot of people have with because they talk about the border all the time. That's their major issue, is the border, because they're suggesting that the United States is in peril of being browned. And now we also have a lot of the Indian population from India here, and the fear seems to be that white America is going to be inundated with brown people, and so thus the control. I think when someone is making these type of statements, echoing what the fear is and stoking the fear, then that's why he's still, because people with a lot of money subscribe to the same fear, is that they'll back someone like this who's spewing nonsense and stoking fear, because it seems like they think that that will urge a third of this population to to stick their chests out and make it look like they're a majority, like the Republican Party does all the time. They're the majority, but they poke their chests out like they're the minority, but they wield power and poke their chests out like they're the majority, most if not all of the time. It reminds me when I was in the penitentiary, it might be 150 guards and 1,500 inmates, but when there's an infraction, all of them pile in on the infraction, so it looks like it's 1,500 guards and 150 inmates. So that's the way that the sway that seems to be in motion all the time is that quest for power stoked by fear, right? So this dude, you'll hear people say, well, he speaks his mind. And really what I'm hearing them say is he's speaking yours, speaking your mind, because you don't have the willingness to expose yourself, but you'll support someone who subscribes to the way you think. And so that's why I think he's kind of like still, and then he's good. See, the only thing about it, he's news. Every day you turn on the news, it's a Trump show. And it's taking focus off of a whole bunch of other things that's going on that affect this country, but he's the headliner, right? And it's a design made by people with in positions to make decisions, and the news media, he's getting a lot of traction from the Trump show, right? So it's doing two things: it's selling news and keeping people in the loop, watching TV and on the internet about what's going on, because people have resentment one way or the other. They got resentment about having this orange dude saying stuff and doing stuff and getting away with stuff. We got a lot of resentment about that. Then you got resentment by the people who say, I don't care what he do, as long as he keep this population control issue on the forefront, because we're scared that by 2040 we'll be a minority. That's kind of like the major two issues, I think, that keeps this guy in the limelight. And whatever he say, it doesn't even matter what he says, because the more he says that's ridiculous, the more traction this issue gets. And they just playing us. You know, they just playing us. Keeping the curtain been pulled back. The little dog done pulled back the curtain, and he done screamed, pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. And a lot of us kind of going for it. Yeah, well, he's still the wizard. Even though I see him operating the gadgetry, he's still a wizard. Maybe he the one that created it all, so he's got to be pretty smart, pretty clever. He the one that made it, so even though he ain't that big head dude blowing smoke, for real, he is the dude behind the big head dude blowing smoke. So, well, he's pretty clever. So people think that he's a genius or he's mastermind, but he's really just a self-centered buffoon that has whittled his way a con man. I mean, he got the coldest con, man. He's got some of the coldest con. You know, I came up around con players. You know, they play long con, they play short con. But this dude here play long con better than anybody I have ever seen. He got a medical plan to replace Obamacare, you know, Affordable Care Act. He got a medical plan 5 years old that we ain't seen yet. It was 2 weeks at first. I'm going to have it in 2 weeks and 2 weeks and 2 weeks and 2 months and 2 weeks. And it's been 5 years, and him or the Republican Party have not come up with an alternative to the Affordable Care Act, or known as the Obamacare. And as you ask people, people so naive, you can say, well, what do you think about Obamacare? Oh, I don't want Obamacare. Well, what do you think about the Affordable Care Act? Oh, yeah, I love that. That's good. So the duplicity, man, is just, you know, gullible society, man, listening to the internet and not doing critical thinking and not examining information and not accepting the truth of information, coming up with alternative facts, one woman said, Kellyanne Conway. Well, those are just alternative facts, and that's what we're living in, a realm where facts are negotiable, caused by this con man. So that's my interpretation of it.
Well, I'm going to give my interpretation. All of it's a con. We've been conned all our lives. Our ancestors been conned. That's all this government do is con, 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 con. They ain't nothing but Decepticons. And they have transformed us into being Decepticons like them towards each other. And Obama didn't do a damn thing, not nothing. Obamacare, they had indigent care before Obamacare. I went to the hospital many a times and got free care, free health care through indigent care. So, I mean, they just put a name on it. That's all they did. Put a name and a picture to it. Ain't their president did a damn thing for me. I ain't seen nothing they did. I ain't seen nothing none of them did that was good. Because in the long run, everything they do that seem good to you now hurts us in the end. See, like I said before, what tastes sweet to the mouth can be bitter to the belly and a pain in the ass coming out. I digress. I'm getting upset again. Good God Almighty.
And rightfully so. I mean, we should understand that this whole system, all the way back to the Constitution, was designed to protect those who had Mark, wherewithal. The wherewithal. They had land, they had money, and they had, they had people that they didn't pay anything to increase their wealth, right? So, you know, it's like, that's kind of like ultimate. That's the ultimate circumstance one could be in. And why wouldn't you anticipate that they would use any ruse or any method to protect what that system represented, any way possible, right? Because greed, G-R-E-E-D, greed, is at the core of a lot of our so-called species, members of our species, certain members of our species seem to be captivated by greed and not having a willingness to lend into humanity aside from their greed or instead of their greed. Humanity gets set aside for the sake of greed. We have in this country, no, I didn't say in this country, I'm going to say in California. In California, check it out, there are 178 to possibly 182 billionaires in California. 178 minimum up to approximately 180 plus billionaires in California, and we have a homeless problem. So we're just talking about what's the stimuli for people to think and do what they do. It's greed, man. And it's, to me, it's such an ugly illness. It's an emotional, spiritual, and mental illness. When I see it, I'm going to make sure that I don't get caught up, because I have a tendency to slide into it, and I've seen myself do it, and I didn't like myself. I don't see how people can like themselves when they're seized by something that engulfs them so deeply that they forget about humanity. Matter of fact, They kick dirt on it. They kick dirt on humanity. So at the core of all this stuff we're talking about, still see that insidious illness, greed. Let me break off for a minute.
That's true. Go ahead. Because when you say greed, like I say, greed breeds deceit. And there are a lot of people that started out with the right thing in mind, you know, had us in mind. A lot of them did. But once that greed hit them, it overpowers them. And, you know, the higher you go in that greed game, you become a part of the other game, that Illuminati or them, they, the system. And there are certain things you can't do. They don't allow you to do it. If you do it, you're out. And when they take you out, they take you out. You know, they kill you off. I'm listening to this Oprah Winfrey mess, this Monique mess, this Steve Harvey mess, the Tyler Perry mess. You know, all that's from greed. And they just have money to waste. You look at the destruction that the weather is causing up there in Southern California, the landslides. They ain't worried about nothing. They can rebuild. And they're going to rebuild right there where it's sliding at because it looked good. But that's what a fool does. They just blow it. Just blow the money because they can. They don't care about us. That money that they're wasting could have purchased a commune for a lot of these homeless people. And not only purchase a commune, but give them help within it. And see, that's the problem. You could give them a place to stay, but if they're not getting no help, it's not going to change nothing. And then they have to have the right kind of help. They don't just need a place to stay. They need more than that because they got a place to stay where they at. They need other types of help. So, like I said, we have a major problem on our hands. And us as a people, the problem that we have is worse than the problem that they have. Because we got something, but we ain't got nothing when you really think about it. So that's why I enforce black cohesion. And I don't care how it come about. I just know we got to come together. And the few of us that start, there will be others that get on board. But we got to come together, and it's got to be done right. We can't have no shiesty shit. We got to do it in love, peace, and harmony. And that, because once we start building on that foundation, everything's going to go right. It'll be stable. It'll be solid. And it'll grow. And we'll just have to watch out and kick them lowlifes, those that don't want to do right, kick them out till they get right. But you got to prove that you're right before you can get back in. But it can be done. And I know it will be done because it's the only help that we're going to get. And that's what God wants us to do, come together as one. And God's going to be in the midst. And it can't be torn down. What he put together, no man could tear it apart. This is a union of God. This is what God wants. That's all the Bible talks about is unity and love. We got to do it. And we got to start today. I digress. Go ahead, my brother.
Brother Joe is on the line. He was on, and then he disappeared, and then I put him back in. So I'm trying to see if he can be heard. Brother Joe?
Yes, sir. How you doing this morning, fellas?
Let's
see. Greed. Yeah, our counterparts, and I don't know why everybody's afraid to say it, the white culture, white people, white man. Yeah, that's been the focus of their culture from European times, olden times, as we call it. Today, we set on embark on an era of trying to get a hold of the young lady so that she can be put in the mayor's office. So a group of us are forming together in 30 minutes to give her a platform. One gone. Can you do all of us a favor? And can you find the song It's Time by the Winans? And I digress.
It's Time by the Winans. Let me see. It's Time. I'm trying to think of that if I remember that one. Yeah, so it slid into the core. We started talking about Trump and his antics, right? And his keeping the atmosphere charged with all kinds of nonsense, right? It's what they call subterfuge. It's a method that's used to make an issue appear to be very important and bring all your focus to that issue while other stuff is going on behind the scenes that we ain't going to pay attention to, right? And he's a master at that. He's a master at throwing stuff out controversial that he had you scratching your head. Next thing you know, you're trying to analyze and figure out what his next move going to be or why he said what he said in the first place or what it meant when he said what he said. But in the meantime, all kinds of stuff is going on behind the scenes, right? All kinds of negotiations, all kinds of bills being passed with what they call pork in it, you know, where, it's a bill that we want, but in order for them to pass it, it's got a whole bunch of stuff that benefits a whole bunch of people that don't look like us. So it's kind of important for us to, like, acknowledge who's the head of the subterfuge, who's the head of the diversion, who's the head of the end around, hiding the pee, who's trying to hide the pee under the shell, to recognize that. However, it becomes more important to not allow that head of all of this controversy to be the main stimuli for why you pay attention to the news or pay attention to the events that are happening, because that's what this thing has the power to do right now, is take our attention off of a lot of stuff that benefits us or a lot of stuff that deserves to be analyzed and decided by us. It's taking that decision out of focus. Because every day you turn on the TV, it's that big-head white dude, you know, with the comb over. It's comb over, dude, every day. People talking about it every day, right? Because people, we want revenge. People want him to get justice. I ain't even say revenge. We want justice for what he's done, and other people want to protect him so he can keep saying what he's saying to stoke the fear, to keep things the way they are. With a certain, and seeing Joel said, scared to say, I'm diplomatic when I say it, because I don't think all white people think like that. I don't think so. I haven't seen evidence that all white can be so greedy and diabolical that's what we can anticipate from all white. It's that white male, that power-seeking white male, who is, to me, the culprit. And it's important for us to really recognize not only that's something we're going to have to contend with in the future as we move forward, but I think it's important for all us to also recognize that we're going to have to be cagey and clever, artistic, and mindful of how we swooze him, that greedy Caucasian, how we swooze him to understand that this is going to work for them as well. Right? So relax, dude. relax. You ain't got to, you know, like try to get a whole bunch of people all up in arms, ready to take guns and civil war and all that. You ain't got to do all that. Just look at the facts. And that's what we're bringing out every day. We're bringing out facts about who we are and who the real patriots are. You're not a real patriot, dude. You know, we've got one dude here. He denounces the military, the big head dude, Comover dude. He avoided the military. He had bone spurs, he said, so he couldn't go into the military. But our people went in his stead and fought valiantly for this country. So we are the true patriots. He talks about patriotism all the time, but he has not done one patriotic thing that I can reckon with, or to make a statement of, well, that was patriotic. He keeps on infusing all kinds of division and all that stuff, and it's part of the game to keep us off balance. So, you know, that greed piece that keeps sliding back in, that's the real core. And I think that the quicker we can start demonstrating or putting emphasis on it being an illness, so that folks can look at themselves a little closer and not be so quick to talk about what they have and what they can do and not focus on who they're hurting and how they're hurting people. I think that we'll be on the right track. Define this thing for what it is. It's an illness. Greed is an illness.
Well, it's just like cancer. And if you can't take the cancer out, you got to get the cancer away from you. I think the best thing that we can do, because a lot of things that they do to us is a diversion. To keep us from seeing what they're really doing to us or what they're going to do to us later on in the years to come or days to come. Like I say, we have to come up with an alternative. What is our alternative to what they're doing to us? How do we do something to help our people? In case something happens, what can we put into place that'll sustain us, that'll provide us the daily needs that we'll require? See, that's what we need to think about. We can't change none of that shit that they're doing. Not one damn thing can we change by a vote, by talking about it. Nothing. Ain't a damn thing going to happen. They're going to keep doing what they're doing. We got to do something else. Like the brother got the property up there in Arizona. He's doing something else that'll provide him safety, security, you know, provisions for later on. That's what we got to do. And one of us might not be able to do it as well as he did because we don't have the wherewithal. But if we come together, we can do that and do much more. We could even add on to what he's got and build off of that. See, he's got a starting block up there. And I'm pretty sure there's more land up there. But we got to do something. See, it's no longer time for thinking about it and talking about it. We got to do it, man. We got to come together. I don't care what we do, but we got to do something other than talking about it. Because that's only going to make us angry. And that anger and bitterness going to grow. And since we can't lash out at them, we're going to lash out at each other like we've been doing. I'm digressing.
Again, that, you know, that borderline anger, righteous indignation, is a common for visionaries. It's a common emotional experience. Go ahead. It's a common emotional experience for folks who see more and want more than what we're experiencing now.
That's if Joe. Joe needs to mute himself.
Hello?
Yeah, mute yourself, Joe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, it's a commonplace emotion for folks who have vision and who can see more and feel that there should be more and feel like, I guess the feeling is that we're consistently settling for less. And there's nothing, that's about as natural as it gets to have that feeling of anger or have that feeling of it. The righteous indignation, as it's called, because it's a motivating factor to get one to speak about how they feel and be candid about it or to take action, which hopefully people understand that that's what we attempt to do here. We have conversations, and then as a result of these conversations, we take our energies toward bringing some sort of remedy that we can make available to the people whose vision is not as clear as ours, because we are visionaries here. We see in our mind's eye how things can be, and we promote the idea that the way it's going to happen is if more people start visualizing what can be. And then those who may not have the vision, they will be receptive to the charisma of those who do. Because I was just thinking about something. We do presentations all the time, and we have valuable information that, well, let's say this, we think is valuable, and then we get the response that echoes and respects that we bring something. However, I notice that people who bring information, who have not gotten in touch with their inner force of charisma, don't get much results. We are talented, gifted people, anointed with a certain flavor and color and charisma. But I'm noticing that our young people are backing away from discovering their charisma, and that's a concern. We had a meeting last night with our youth, the Youth Healing Circle, and there were some who we rely upon because they have a consciousness, they have a self-awareness, they have vision. They're seeing. You can ask them, and they'll tell you where they want to be. They'll tell you what they like and where they want to go with what they like. We have some of them. Then we have some who are hesitant about expressing even their names. We had young people in there that don't even want to stand up and say who they are. And it is these who I'm concerned about, because that charisma that is embodied in our people is important to start shining. It's important to start getting used to that spirit coming through. I'm going to give you an example. Michael Jackson, in private, probably the most meek and undercurrent guy, really kind of like, you know, almost nondescript, right? Until he got on stage, that's where his charisma, until he started creating, that's where his charisma unfolded, and it was spectacular. So it's important for us to, as a people, to start recognizing that is that charisma and that ability to express through that charisma is going to make it easy for us to work together, because charisma is attractive, compelling, and we all, I would dare to say, have that in us. That is one of the anointments that we have, is our charisma. And if we're not working to either generate it, bring it forth, or revive it, I think that's going to be one of our major challenges and concerns as we attempt to work together. It's a beautiful thing, that charisma. It's passionate. It's profound. It's gripping when someone who has charisma or who recognizes what they have to say and what they feel is important enough to share with somebody and do it in a manner that makes it clear that before you walk away from me, you're at least going to understand what I have to say, at the least. And I'm going to use everything I have to get you to like or agree with me. And if not, we can go back and forth until we come to some kind of term, but what it is that we think and feel, and get used to that. That's why we work with these young people. That's why we do the wheel in the morning, in our sessions. We have them stand up, announce their name, their age, what school they go to, and what kind of day they had. And that power, that becomes powerful after a while, because they get accustomed to hearing the strength and the power of their own voice. That's what we do with the young people. We want the same thing to happen for our dawning, for our older members in our crew, to start feeling the power of your voice and express yourself. And this is a good platform for it. Hey, the togetherness thing, we're on the turn. Just y'all get ready for it. Be prepared for it. Be willing to participate in it. We're on the turn here. We have reparations on the brink. And once that occurs, we can repair ourselves. When we have to be able to open our mouths and say what it is that where our pain is and where we need our healing. We have to be willing to do that so that we can surely help each other when that occurs. And I'll yield.
All right, we have a caller that called in from 510. The 510, state your name, if you don't mind. Caller from 510-200. Okay, we'll keep moving. You're listening to the Wise Words of One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio. Today is a beautiful day. Got rain in the forecast. Right now it's 43 after the hour. And I'm going to play this song and give y'all a moment to go get coffee, have a bathroom break, or if you smoke cigarettes, go have a smoke. Wow, still smoking cigarettes.
blessings, King. Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents
the Men's Healing Circle.
Brothers healing together.
Brothers healing together.
Join us every Wednesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California, inside the Obama Room. The Men's Healing Circle is a place where men uplift, encourage, and inspire each other to be better through personal testimony, dialogue, self-reflection, self-improvement, and positive affirmation. Again, that's 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California, in the Obama Room. Come out and pledge to greatness with your fellow brother.
That's right. That's tonight. That's tonight at 2251 Florin Road in the Obama Room, where we'll be coming together as brothers to heal one another, because we are our own medicine. And if we take a little bit of each other daily and respect each other, be loyal to each other, and just be kind to each other, we can heal, and we can heal our neighborhoods to become community. It is the Wise Words of One Gone Show. The call-in number is 515-605-9861. That's 515-605-9861. Today we're on a Wise Words Wednesday, and I was listening to our host, Mr. Marvell Wilson, talking about the young people that were at the Youth Healing Circle last night. Last night, I want to say, was a beautiful night, because we had a moment in Black history with our young folks, right? And the question was, are you being taught Black history in your school? And out of all the kids that was in there, it was one or two, matter of fact, it was two, that said, yeah, we got something from the school about Black history. And so one of the young men goes to Capitol Christian out off of Bradshaw, and the other goes to Monterey Trails, and he said he was doing a report. What I want you all to know is that the Black history that our kids really need to know about is from the house, really, because it starts at home. And so you need to, every day it should be Black History Day in your house, because you Black, right? And y'all should be making history every day with communicating with your young folks, right? That's what's missing. What's missing is that we're allowing the technology to train and educate our youth, and then when it comes to us to help them as they're being educated, we act like we can't do the problem. That ain't what we did when I came up. But the thing about that is that you're not spending enough time with your young folks at that school. So I know we work a bunch of jobs and we're gone all day, but we have to, when a young person is between the age of 4 to 12, we need to spend more time in their face putting in the input that needs to be put in to one so they can be the best they can be. So when you're pushing them away, telling them to go in their room and play your game and take this phone and go sit over there, you're damaging the whole process. So I ask, not telling, I ask that you spend more time communicating with your young folks. The best way to do that is start having dinner at the table. Without further ado, I have our host for you, Mr. Marvell Wilson. Marvell.
Yes, and one of the things that also, excuse me, one of the things that also came to the floor yesterday was that a lot of parents sort of throw in the towel and concede to the power of the electronics. It's not necessary. It doesn't seem necessarily that they would prefer the electronics to be the teaching tool. It's just that it's difficult to compete. So a lot of parents just throw in the towel because of the competition is so great. Because we're talking about inciting something in our metabolism and in our makeup that if it once it gets started, it keeps telling you to keep coming back. It's a part of the brain that says, I like that. Do that again. I like that. Ooh, do that again. The dopamine, the pleasure center, is dictating based upon what's being stimulated by these electronics. So we talked about that, and we also appeal to the youth to give us a break, because I don't care, or I ain't gonna say I don't care, but it's pretty clear that whatever it is that they are watching and whatever it is they're doing that's keeping them occupied to that intense degree, none of those stuff cares more about them than we do. None of that stuff. That stuff is to get you to buy their product or to help their service or to promote their popularity and their celebrity. Everybody is attempting to get you to endorse them and buy into their product, their service, their charisma. And the sacrifice is you're losing your own, and the other sacrifice is we're not able to compete with that. So if we're not careful, we'll cow and say, let him go and play his game. Go on, let him go on. Go ahead on, play the game. Or go again, I can't get your attention. You go on, get up. Could you put the phone down? Oh, that's all right. All right, go ahead. Go ahead. I see it got you. And also, I'll point it out when I work with, in the after school program, I work with third, fourth, and fifth graders. And we started talking about the electronics. Now, they're not that rooted in it, and hopefully they won't be, because this is what they said. When I started talking about it, they started talking about, well, my brother and my sister, my older brother and my older sister are hypnotized. This is what a third grader said. They are hypnotized. Then another one said, and this is how he said it. He just blurted out, he said, they addicted. My little buddy, he's a hyper little dude, but they are very cognizant of a whole bunch of stuff that's going on around them. And once you can get the confidence for them to share, they say some very powerful things. And that's what they said that my big brother and my sister are hypnotized and addicted to their phones and to games. So we're not able to compete with that initially. But if we start working towards stimulating with our charisma and our cleverness and our willingness to be interesting to them, that stuff down. Well, we have to be mindful that it's art. It's got to be artistic about it. You just can't be dictatorial, like if you don't do what I say or not. And if you don't, then okay, well, you go ahead on with your phone. If you ain't going to do what I say, then okay, go ahead. And that kind of like a method of approach is what I've observed doesn't work, because they resent you for throwing in the towel. Said, oh, yeah, you gave up too quick. You, I didn't know you were soft like that. You'll let me just you like that. Gosh, you know, you can't, that's all you got. You mean you can't persuade me to pay attention to you over my phone? Wow, Mom. Dang, Dad. I want to think more of you, but you got to give me something to work with. So we have to be very clever to make sure that we attract their interest away from that stuff. Because otherwise, it's got them. It's got them addicted and hypnotized. I'll yield.
I appreciate that, brother, because you are so right. You are so right. You know, I work with the youth daily, as you do, and Mark Disciple. We see this all the time. And so here's what I see. I see these parents, I'm not going to say mothers to single them out, because most of our youth only have the mother in the house, but I'll just say parents to be abroad, right? Parents are chumps when it comes to that electronics. They're chumps. I got a son that's in my house. He'll be 15 in May. I've known my son, going on 5 years, right? I married his mom in 2019. And so I never met the son because he was not with my wife at the time we were courting, dating, or just hanging out, right? And so when I did meet my son, he fell in love with me because I was a fisherman. I go skating. I like to go to the snow. I like to do things that he hadn't done. And so because I was showing him different things to do, he fell in love with the action part of me, right? He didn't fall in love with the influence over power. So what I'm saying is, you know, his mom used power, the growl, to get her point across. Me, I use my influence. I'm not growling. I'm not yelling. I'm just showing you an example and leading by example. And so he fell in love with that. But then it came a point to where I bought him that PlayStation. He didn't have one, so all his friends had a PlayStation. So he kept whining to his mom and even acting out to get that game. And I said, you know what? You're not finna get no game. You're not finna get no game. But this how you act. You know, you're talking to your mom like that. No, I'm not going to get, because I had promise. See, one thing you cannot do with these youth is you cannot promise them anything that you're not going to give. And so I made the mistake of promising him when he was doing good, when we first met, say, hey, man, I'm going to get you one of them, you know. But then it came to the point where all the kids was having them and they was coming to our youth session talking about this Fortnite thing. And so he wanted to be on Fortnite to play with the guys that was in the room and he didn't have access. And so he kind of was disgruntled to his mom. And that broke the barrier for me, because I'm like, you can't talk to my wife like that. You're nine years old and you're hollering at my wife, and I'm not used to that. But you know, she brung him up like that, so they used to that. I'm not, though. And so I made the mistake and said, you know, I'm not getting you that. And so he looked at me. He said, but you promised me. I said, yeah, I promised you, but you talking to my wife kind of crazy. And so, make a long story short, I end up getting him this game box thing, PlayStation 4. This young man went south on me, right? He went so south on me that he wouldn't listen to anything nobody said when he got that game. He was stuck. He was stuck. We could tell him to clean his room. We could tell him to pick up his shoes and just put them in the closet. Them shoes would stay there days. Hey, man, I thought I told you, pick up them shoes. Come back the next day. Hey, man, them shoes still there? Because he's stuck on this game. So what I did, I took the game. I bought it. I took it. And that's where a relationship can go south when, you know, not that he's not my son or because that's a barrier in itself, right? And so what happened is we had a bad relationship from that point on. And Mark, the disciple, can attest to this, that I had to do a whole bunch of thinking outside of the box to get this young man back inside the realms of understanding, the realms of respect, the realms of don't do what I say, or do as I say, don't do as I do, right? Because I'm an adult, so if I do some things, I'm not lying, I'm not stealing, I'm not killing, but there's other things that I do that I don't need you to do, right? I don't need you to do these things until you're properly trained to do them, whether it's go outside and cut the grass at 9 years old. You know, whether it's there's certain things I don't need you to do, right? But there's a lot of things I need you to do, and these things are respect. Respect your mama. The other thing is trust in her decision. The other thing is be thankful, because you're not entitled to everything your friends have. You're not entitled to. This is not an entitlement thing, and that's what gets our kids confused. You know, we give them that entitlement thing, and they think everybody should give it to them. So here's the time where the respect is not respectable, because our youth don't want to respect their elders. If you're not their parent, I mean, you can't tell me nothing. And that ain't how we're supposed to raise our young folks in the village, because they said it takes the village to raise a child. And so what I'm saying, and all that I'm saying to the listeners out there, is that our youth have a chance when you give them a chance. Our youth have a chance when you're able to talk to them, navigate for them, and send them on their way with guidance. Don't just throw them to the wolves. Don't just throw them to the sideline, give them the phone, and let them play on it because you tired, your mind, you had a rough day. Hey, these kids didn't ask to come here, right? And so while they're here up under your supervision, as a parent, you have to train and teach every day. There's no days off. And with that, I yield.
Right on. Right on. It's a daily focus. I mean, I ain't talking about all day, excuse me, per se. It's just being cognizant, being mindful, being aware that in the course of the day, there has to be at least some teaching moments with consistency.
Bishop Williams.
There has to be a... Say again?
Bishop
Hello?
Williams.
Bishop Williams.
Bishop Williams.
Hey,
yes.
Okay. Thank you, sir, for your acknowledgement. And we'll let you in when I share this, and then we'll get to you next. Okay? Is that okay, sir? Right. So it's a daily. It's a regimen. It's like school. Like we send them off to school, anticipating that they're gonna get something to help enrich them, to help them become, to have advanced their ability to eventually make decisions for themselves and eventually take care of themselves. So we send our kids off on a daily basis anticipating that would happen. And when they come home, I don't think it's fair for us to think that they did that job and we don't have to do it no more. Right? Come home from work and you relax and you come in and you see them occupied. So what's up? Everything seemed cool, right? or they ain't even home yet, you know. I was talking to a lady the other day. We were supposed to be working with her two sons. She said one son got out of school at 2:30 and it was 7:30. And she didn't know where he was. But that was not uncommon for her to not know where he is, because he's autonomous and he makes decisions that he thinks best for him, and he don't include nobody in his decision making. Common stuff, I've noticed, in one way or the other, seems to be in existence in our young households. And when I say young households, I'm saying that a lot of these young people having children before they have matured. So when you are when you're premature having and bearing a seed and bearing a child, then where's the maturity? Where does the maturity begin? And I dare to say it would fall upon them to recognize and honor the elders, the guardians, and the parents who are willing to participate in their growth, I think it would be smart to defer to them. But if they're not available, then the only thing that's left is the phone to entertain them and to educate them and to indoctrinate them into buying in to somebody else's vision instead of practicing vision of their own. Dead right. It's a daily practice. It's a conscious effort to make sure that we impart our willingness to teach our children and to guide our children and to help them recognize boundaries in their behavior. Help them recognize, hey man, Dig, did you know that you've been on that phone for yeah, I know. And I'm saying, okay, well tell me, because that's what I do when the kids, when they in the, they're not kids, when these young people are in class, when we have our after school, they'll be sneaking the had their head down, and I see them looking at their phone, and I say, you looking at your phone? Yeah, I was just checking the text. Okay. And to catch them again, I say, well, we're checking the text. No, I was playing the game. Okay, well, tell me what you learned in the game. Tell us. Did you learn anything? Well, I learned how to score these points. I said, okay, well, you know, that's important, I guess, in the game. But what about the game of life? Well, how is that important in your advancement and in your improvement in the way you live your life? How is that helping? Share that with us. And they get, like, a little sheepish, like, oh, man, there you put me on the spot. But I've got to put you on the spot so you can rethink your behavior. And not me standing over you all the time telling my man, put that phone down. I don't want you to pick it up when it's not appropriate. Because what you're telling me is you don't want to be a part of what's going on. And my question is, why not? It's interpersonal and it's human. Everything you're talking about dealing with is not human, and it doesn't really care about you. Get that straight. That phone doesn't care about you, whereas I do. Make a choice. You want something that cares about you and something that manipulates you to pretend like it cares about you. Which one you prefer? I yield.
Deacon, it's on you. Hello.
Mr. Williams. Oh, you want us to listen to you, huh? You don't want to listen. Come on the phone, man.
You're on mute. You're on mute, sir. We cannot hear you.
Is he talking, but you can't hear? Okay.
All right. Well, I appreciate what you were saying, man, because you do get hot. They get agitated real quick when one is trying to give them information that would be hefty for them, that would be something they can use in this lifetime, right? And so when one is pouring into another, a lot of times it's not received the way we pour it. But in due time, I, in hopes that what I put out there finally catches on, because they're not going to catch on right away every time, right? Is it a light going to go off maybe 4 or 5 years later, a light go off and say, dang it, that's what the guy was talking about. And now I'm faced with it. At least now I know what he was talking about. I can probably handle this a little better as opposed to him not giving me that wisdom. And so what I'm asking our listening audience and our families is to please give your children the opportunity to grow up in knowledge. And what I mean by that is you talking to them, giving them the knowledge. And so Brother Yusuf told me to call him because he has to pay if I don't do that. And so what I'm going to do is give me a moment, you all. I'm going to call Brother Yusuf. He wanted to join in. in the conversation. I guess he's listening online, and like I said, they're charging our listeners now to be a part of this. So give me one moment and let me call this brother live so we can get him on to do a moment with us. So give me a moment, please. And we are calling Brother Yusuf now. I like this show. I like the way we're able to utilize this show to do a whole lot. And that's what we're doing, a whole lot.
Please leave your message for
Yusuf.
Okay, Brother Yusuf, I called you now. I called you. Brother Yusuf, this is Brother Tim. Just calling to see if you are available to jump on. We'll try that again in a moment. Let's try that again. Hopefully he will. Yeah. He probably looked at that number and was like, who's calling me? Brother Yusuf. Hello. Okay, let's continue on with the show. I see Miss Clarice just joined us. Miss Clarice, peace and blessings to you. How's your morning so far? Miss Clarice. Okay. Can anybody hear me?
I can hear you.
Mark the Disciple. Mark the
yes,
disciple.
Sir, I hear you loud and clear.
Okay, okay. I just want to make sure because I've been calling out some names in the phone. And,
yes.
Yeah, things didn't go right for me, so I'll just leave that at that. Right now, I'm in a training. They gave me a five-minute break, and they was talking about traumatic adaptation, right, how we deal with trauma and over time, right? And so how does one deal with trauma at the young age of five when you see your dad or your mama's boyfriend hit on her continuously and then yells at you and scares you? How does one deal with that, right? That's going to be a topic for tomorrow because we have been talking with a few youth in the last weeks that have been in domestic violence. I haven't brung that up because some things you just have to hold until it's the right time. They were doing investigations and all that, and so I didn't want to bring that to no one's attention. But now that the investigation's over, they got the young man locked up, and now the young girl is trying to say, well, he didn't do anything. I lied, you know, just to get the young man out. You know, just to get him out, knowing that this young man bruised her up real bad. And so what type of love is that? What type of love is that? And that's a thing I want to talk about tomorrow because someone brought it up in the youth healing circle last night about how one could get misused, and because that's all they know or, you know, that's all they've seen and been in, that type of relationship, that they kind of like want that, right? That's an acceptance to them to be hit on, to be beaten, you know, and that's how a lot of our relationships that are dysfunctional, a man hitting his woman and then, you know, apologizing, buying a gift, but then 2 days later, he's putting his hand back on her. You know, them type of relationships are the type of relationships that our young folks are seeing in these homes. And who's dealing with the trauma? Who's dealing with their feelings? Who's dealing with them, right, at this time? And so how we came about that conversation, we're talking about bullying, right? And there's a young, smart genius in our session last night that was saying, you know, yeah, the guy bullied me, you know. And at the end of his thing, when he was leaving, he said, "All I want is my mom to say I can fight back." I passed the mic.
He certainly did. Yeah, a young warrior too. So that's kind of like one of the things that I've observed with our young people is that they get pigeonholed into being one way or the other. If they're intelligent, then they can't be rough, and if they're rough, they can't be intelligent. But both things can exist in the same place at the same time, and a lot of people find that out later on, and they wonder, dang, how come y'all didn't tell me he could fight? You know, because I went through the same thing.
Right. So, hey, so we have Bishop Williams back on. Bishop Williams, can you say something on your mic so I can see if you're there?
Yes, sir, I'm here. God bless. I'm here.
All right. Okay, so Marvell, I believe Bishop Williams wanted to say some things earlier. I don't know, but I'm going to go, and I'll be right back. Brother Joe is back on the line, too, so I'm going to go.
Okay, Bishop Williams, can we get a report on what's going on with reparations? Oh, Bishop Williams, did you put yourself on mute? All right, Joe, are you there?
Did you hear me?
With whom am I speaking now? Bishop Williams?
No,
it's
me. Joe.
Joe, okay. All right, Joe. You got the mic.
Okay, reparations. The only thing that we really need to do is to put our ducks in a row. That's the only thing that we need to do. As far as reparations, all the talk and emotions that are wrapped into it, to me, are just a waste of time. ABC, make sure we take our appropriate steps and get things done. That's anything that we've been talking about since we've been on this podcast. Not today, but period. It just takes a willingness to get things done, and that's about the only thing that I can honestly say. If there's a willingness, there's a way. One goal. Were you able to find It's Time by the White? Thank you.
Okay, Joe, so he stepped away because he's in the training, and he was on a break. So I don't know if he did that research for that tune or not, but he did. He'll do like he did yesterday when Double R was on the line and he asked for Wake Up Everybody by Teddy Pendergrass. He found it and played
right.
It first. So it's not as though you're going to be omitted in the process. It's just right now he's kind of being pulled and tugged from one responsibility to the other at this time.
Okay. Okay. You had opened up with the conversation about, if my memory serves me correctly, I've been involved in something right this minute, but all it does is we just have to get our act together. I mean, Mark says it all the time. A few others say it all the time. The only thing that keeps us from doing what we're doing is just being honest with each other and being straight with each other and moving forward. The headaches that we go through, people that we deal with, that's part of life. It's the individual, core individuals, that really mean something. Those are the ones that try to get things done, get it done straight. So I would say just merely keep going. They're going to be the orange man. I wouldn't worry about Trump. The hell with Trump. Let's get our act together. Thank you.
Yeah, in that quest, there's always the question, you know, because you mentioned willingness earlier, and, you know, it seemed simplistic that if everybody were willing, then we should be at the starting line ready to hear take off at the report of the gun, right? When we hear that fire, everybody should be in line ready to take off at the same time. It's just that there's a, and we're going to talk about it Monday, I think, or tomorrow. No, we're going to talk about it tomorrow, about the ill effects of trauma. I think that's what it's going to boil down to, is that the ill effects of trauma seemingly creates a hesitation for one to go forth in areas that might revisit trauma. Or, you know, it's almost like when I was a kid, a woman made me eat some cream of wheat, right? Made me eat the cream of wheat. And I haven't eaten it since, right? Because that one bad experience kind of like made me hold cream of wheat responsible for what she did, right? So I don't eat it. I haven't eaten it since I was a kid. And so I'm saying that to say that when we stimulate each other to look deeper, that's the important thing. It's okay,
right,
we can see on the surface.
I don't want to see my dish, man, because...
Who is that?
Yeah. No, it's
who
me,
is that?
It's me, go ahead. Okay. I'm on mute.
Okay, so when we look at how important it is for us to work together, it's kind of important as well to look at the details of why that might be a challenge, right? And if that's what we're doing here, is we're just keep on peeling away at those things that on face value we're supposed to work together. It shouldn't be no problem. We all look alike, or I'm gonna say we have likeness working for us. We have likeness of past experiences working for us. We have, you know, like our family units are unique in themselves. Right? And we can create a whole bunch of stuff that a whole bunch of people benefit from and emulate. And so we got all that stuff. So it would seem like, well, hey, why wouldn't we? And I say it's got a lot to do with the trauma, and it's got a lot to do with the indoctrination of thought. Right? And so even though it seems face value as should be easy, we're finding out that it's not. And that's why we turn over and peel away at these issues so that people can think and rethink about what it is that makes it difficult for them to step forward into the fold and make this stuff happen. So, you know, I like for it to be as simple as that, Joe, is that we just need to get us, and Mark said, too, we just need to get our stuff together. We need to get back to basics. And I'm saying, okay, now let's whittle away at what might stop us from doing that. Let's whittle away at the barriers for people to talk about that. Or let's just do an analysis over what it is that we see, and hopefully somebody will see the same thing and say, yeah, you know what, like we had that happen. Oh, yeah, you know what, y'all was talking about this, and then, man, that's just what's happening with me. I'm glad y'all talked about that. Or I'm glad you got me thinking about that. So that's what I'm saying, that the willing away and the slow process of what goes on here is going to pay off in the end. And we just have to keep doing what we're doing. We just can't lose patience with our people, because our people are the most traumatized people in this country. We've been traumatized more than the American Indians. And they got isolated, right? But they didn't get worked to build this country. They just got separated from the country. They got colonized and reserved to given areas and killed off, right? So those people that died in the quest to take over this land in this country, those people that died, death is not something you would desire, but yet the life that we experience, I think that somebody might have chose death over the life that we've experienced we had to slow walk and make sure that we're peeling away as much as we can of the deterrents that allow us to see clearly how what we can do and how we can do it. And you know, I hope we're not losing patience on that. You know, because we have to keep on, keep on, keep on. Because it took hundreds of years to get to this mindset, right? It took hundreds of years. And, I mean, if you look back, man, wow. Some indoctrinations, some deep indoctrinations. Anytime you'll see somebody been hung, then burned, and you see a bunch of folks standing around the person that's burning with a gleeful look on their face, that's some deep trauma. The ruthlessness of that creates a deep trauma, man. And I think we do well to be patient with each other. So I yield. Oh. You want to speak? Go ahead, because I got something I want to say before the show is over. Kind of funny.
Go ahead.
All right, here's my... Okay, we ain't mentioned it, and I understand why. There's a bunch of men on here, right? Clarice might have come on from a woman's perspective, but today is Valentine's Day, right? Valentine's Day. Now, my perspective about that this day is it's a clever ploy to get us to go back, be out of pocket again, to menfolk, right? So it's really, really, you know, what Valentine's Day to me is, it's like Mother's Day without the kids. Because we the ones, I mean, I can ask the question and I can tell you, gentlemen, what did y'all get for Valentine's Day?
Nothing. I don't need anything.
Right.
The one thing that I need is unity. The one thing that I need is consistency. I don't need a trinket. Don't need a teddy bear,
yeah,
candy, or none of that. I need unity. Do we
have
but
that ain't the point. Yeah, I understand that, Joe, but that's not the point that I'm driving right now. The point is,
is that
once again, marketing has put us in a position, has put people in a mindset that something should be done at a given time, and we buy in, right? And we buy in for the most part. I ain't gonna say everybody, but we buy in for the most part. And it's just another example of what clever marketing and packaging can do. And there's another aspect of our presentation that I think is important for us to learn how to master. Yo, you okay?
Yo, you all right?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm trying to drink some water. This marketing. Then let's get ourselves out there. We have individuals in the advertising community. We have individuals in the business community. And I said unity a moment ago, which was not the focal point. But without it, we won't get these individuals to market what we have, regardless of our production level. If we're not unified, then there's no communication. And that's where the problem is. I strongly feel that if we can when we unify ourselves, then we start doing the type of marketing that brings a good life profit, a willingness to continue on. It's just in all in how we do it and how we approach it.
Or study those who are successful with it. You know, I'm talking about really, really successful, because that key. Go ahead and mute, Joe.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, because see that piece is a missing piece, and to do an in-depth study to find out, you know, really how that works, and applying that, because see, let me give you an example. We have several events, worthwhile events occurring, like tonight. Oh no, tomorrow night we're having the fentanyl presentation, right? We're going to talk about fentanyl. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be hosting that tomorrow at the Florence Square, right? Something like that. I think we should have... I'm going to give you another example. Let me give you another better example. Dr. Umar Johnson was at the Florence Square the same day that we were supposed to be having a meeting for the Flow, Flow Cofer Drive campaign meeting, and we didn't know it. We walked in there, and we had to give up the space that we were going to give because they had booked that for them, and we didn't know it. So this is the type of thing that I'm saying is that to master, to get into and really understand and master how to market a service, a product, or an event, I think that's one of the areas that we're remiss in, is to really get in there, not just going around handing out flyers, but using every opportunity available to push an event or a message or a product or a service, right? Joe, it's a weak concern, man.
I thought I was on mute.
No, you didn't. Yeah, so that's one of those areas that I've really noticed that we're not that adept at, right? And we would do well to become more and more proficient at marketing our services, our products, our events, and doing the research to make sure that the time is right, the season is right, it doesn't conflict with something else that's going on, and make your scheduling coordinative to what's going to get you your best audience, do your research to target your audience. There's a whole lot of details that I think we take for granted because we sponsored something with the BBOA, and because we had a capacity for 300, we thought 300 people was going to show up. Remember that? And we advertised. But I sincerely think that because people spend hundreds of thousands of dollars marketing to marketing firms to get their message in the atmosphere. People spend a lot of money, and we should learn from that. I'm not saying to learn how to spend a lot of money, but learn how to use the method to get our message and get our service in our community's face with a repetition that makes it so that they are compelled to at least give it attention and not take a flyer and you find it on the ground, right? So that's the area that I think that is kind of important for us to really, really delve into and do some real intense research on how to market. Because in that regard right now, I'm gonna ask anybody that's listening if they know someone that they feel is within our realm, within our culture, within our group, that is an expert at marketing products, services, goods, or events? Do you know anybody right now that we can confer with that's an expert with proven work? I mean, when they put something on, it blows up. Because I can only think of one thing. One organization that when they put something on, it blows up. And I'm taking it by the silence that I hear that no one can offer anybody. Well, I'm going to offer you the one that I saw, and that was when WK, what is that? No, not W, it's KDEE. When they sponsor these events, they'll have a theme like all white, all black, or something like that. You got to wear. They tell you what to wear, right? And they'll rent a place, and they'll fill it up. And that's because they have the popularity of the radio, the only black radio station that plays, you know, music for people who are, say, of the mature, more seasoned, more mature music, I say 30, 35 and up, right? They have that audience, and they appeal to that audience. They have a targeted audience, and they go within that targeted audience, and they propose an event that audience will be receptive to. So as a result, they used to have something on Thursday night. At a major hotel, and you go in there, and the place wasn't that big, but the place was always full Thursday night because of their popularity and because of their marketing technique, right? But I can't think of anybody else who draws a lot of people when they put something on in this city, and I'd like some help with that because I want to confer with them. And again, I'm not hearing any offering. So it's pretty clear that we might want to outsource some people that look like us but are successful at appealing to our constituents and to our group about how to stage events and how to attract people to it. Because I've attempted to do some things, and it's like, you know, people didn't show up, and I'm thinking, oh, okay, well, I gave the 6 weeks necessary, put it out, I sent stuff out, you know, on the internet, and did the internet thing, and I did the personal thing. I sent people personal, flyers with the invitation on it, the place where it's going to be happening, what the event was, and then even said, look, if you want details, give me a call. I got a few calls, you know. So there's some technique that we would probably do well to learn about how to make this a part of our repertoire, our marketing.
Meet and greet. You get a venue and you set up a meet and greet and you open it up to all. You don't discriminate on who can come, and you just invite people to come and advertise. And that's how you raise funds, and that's how you network. Because most that come, they you charge a fee, and they're going to come, and you have some, you get the right people in there, they'll be big-time donators. Because a lot of them love to donate because it's a tax write-off for them. And it's the season for it. I digress.
See, that needs to be written down, right? Go say, I'm sitting here now. We're going to have a chat about and get really serious about creating a format right, in the written form, create formats of how to address this thing so that we can become adept at it. Because I don't know if anybody disagree with me or agree with me, but I'm not hearing any disagreement that that's an area that we're not strong in. And in order
tell me what you're talking about again, because I missed out on it. I was away from the phone.
Well, we're just talking about right now, we're just talking about marketing, right? We're just talking about or our tendency to not be adept at it as a group of people, right? We're the most marketed too, but we're not the skillful at marketing ourselves and marketing our. And then, okay, then there's always the old go-to, like, well, we don't own nothing. We ain't got nothing. You know, we don't have companies and we don't have grocery stores. We don't have, you know, we got a few guys got some clothing stores. We got a few guys got barbershops. Most of that barber, beauty, that kind of stuff, barbershops, beauty shops, okay, that's our forte for the most part. And but we don't really own or distribute very many products and services, so why do we need to know how to market? Because we're getting ready to have it. We're getting ready to have these goods and services and sponsor events that we want people to attend in droves. We want it to be standing room only. We want it to be parking lot full. Because I remember when I was out in the world, meaning, you know, I used to go to bars and go to all of the events where, you know, where there's dancing, where there's socialization, where there's a bunch of people at. And I ride down the street, and if I saw a place where there was a bunch of cars at, I had to stop, go see what's happening. Right? So the law of attraction is that we have to create situations in our marketing techniques that make it so that people are compelled to come, because they might miss something if they don't. At least they got to come to see what they might miss or might be missing. And once you get in the fold, you know, people usually stay because there's that energy, right? But we have to be able to harness that energy, be able to attract that energy, and learn how to harness that energy, and know how to do like KDEE does. KDEE, when they put on an event, it's full. I went to one the other day. It's full. And I went there to pass out flyers for the reparations, right? It was full. They had like two stations with two different DJs, right? And it was full on both sides. Parking lot. I had to park. It was at a hotel. I had to park in the back parking lot and walk in the rain about 150 paces to get to the door. Full. So that's what I'm saying, is that to observe whatever technique is being used and use whatever levers are available to target your market, make sure that, you know, you do the research to determine all of the details to assure that your targeted market is being introduced to in a way that'll attract them to show. And that's something that I noticed that we're lacking here. We have overlapping events. We have one event occurring the same day as another event. Now you got to make somebody make a decision about which one they're going to come to, rather than doing the research to determine if they're having theirs on this day, then let's have ours on this day, and then piggyback off of what they had and mention them and say, okay, you know, whatever. Whatever clever way to get people to want to double up and come to yours after attending another one, you know, we had to do that research because we're not, this has been my observation for a long time. We're not good at marketing. We're just good at being marketed too.
And can I say something, or is mine open? Is my mic
open? I can hear you.
Okay, amen. I've always tried to throw in my 2 cents, my nickel, or my quarter, okay? I've done enough shows. I know what the avenue is for marketing. If it's not enough time on paperwork to put out there, social media, radio, whatever, you're not going to get the crowd, even on the same-day events. I've done same-day events where it was a good outcome in both places. There's enough people in Sacramento to attract. There's Bay Area everywhere around it. There's decent enough performers, like if you're doing a show. If you have an exact month, meaning 2 weeks prior from an event like this one we're supposed to be throwing, that should have been in the pot before I even joined the group. I ain't been in there that long. But it should have already been flyers done, should have had a DJ done, should have had a headliner. That's the main three. Then you work on getting all the vendors to come. I don't like to always push what I have in front of everybody because everybody think, I don't know if you think of doing it for a selfish reason, like Rev trying to get this limo up here. No, any place I park my limo, I've had people downtown in front of their club. Hey, Rev, you mind parking here? You know, we'll throw you some food or whatever. Just keep your limo parked in front. When people drive by anywhere and you see a limousine, you assume something's going on inside. See? So I've already offered the limousine out as far as I'm trying to turn my remote off. Trying to promote on the limousine, okay? Whatever event is coming up, it don't take 2 seconds to rather we put it on there with stickers or a magnet or whatever. Park it somewhere close, like we over in the marketplace, for instance, okay, Florence Square. My limousine sitting in front of that place, sitting at the sidewalk, introduce, because they don't even know the Market Square is back there because nothing really saying what it is. So whatever events, and I've been to enough. I've been driving the limousine for 12 years. So every place I go, the first thing you see when you pull up is a limousine. You're the assumption that something going on that's pretty big to have people want to come in a limousine. So having things like I talked to Flo Crawford enough. I've talked to Alicia and another gentleman's trying to run for governor, Manny Smith. Now, Manny Smith is on game with what I'm trying to do. He's wanting to do some music with me. He's wanting to do some shows with me because he sees my level is where he's thinking. So I don't always think of small little bitty events because I know pulling a small crowd isn't that hard, but you have to have enough time to do it. If this show goes well, that means God had his hands and spirit all over it because there's no flyers properly done. There's no headliner. They're trying to push Fillmore Slim to keep the sneak because I brought that to the attention. And it wasn't nothing locked in solid because Keith the Sneakers, he lives in Sacramento. He said, Rev, would just send me a flyer, the information and the time. I couldn't get that. So I ain't going to pressure this man to try to come. He won't even respond to my message now because it's too late. You know, a few days before I get a flyer and let, I don't know. I don't even want to embarrass myself because I know and all of the main entertainers know you got to have at least a marketable month in order for the crowd to come. Because they'll weigh the scale on where they want to spend the money, if they want to leave a show to come to that show and all that stuff. There's enough people in Sacramento to fill up most, the Golden One Center, the Convention Center, the whatever the other place is downtown, plus all the small little venues. There's enough people getting the right kind of music and the right type of attraction. That's all it takes for marketing. My movie series, on the other hand, same thing. If you sing, rap, dance, comedy, spoken word, poetry, I want to put people in the movie in order to help market what we do. So if you got a business like you gentlemen have, the business that you have, and I'm just part of it in whatever stage, I don't know, that it could be marketed through my movie. Anything. So I needed the backing on that. So I'm not always crying because of what Rev don't have. It's like I joined a group to where I'm thinking I got to throw up my voice to see what I can get, you know, to you gentlemen come and help on mine and I'll help on yours to make things work. But I haven't gotten that. And I was supposed to go out today and do a Valentine's Day thing. And it wasn't even pushed into equation at all. Thank God it rained or none of that, but not there, my friend. And I'm bringing him into the group because he has a barbecue grill and we too. I'm going to be doing side whatever. I pray that people join in because I'm going to try and get mine to go weekly. So that's the basics of marketing. If it's not enough time, enough advertising, rather be a bunch of flyers passed out or a poster posted here and there around the event space that you're going to have it in, it'll fail every time. It'll fail every time. Because that's been my most thing in me doing in Sacramento. Well, when God woke me up, is promoting shows. So I know what to do. Give me something to do, and I can do it. But I haven't had nothing.
Well, I want to give you something. I want you to jot down with in the chronology, meaning the order that you think is the best way.
No. Let me tell you. Okay, I can do
all
that. Oh,
let me finish what I'm saying.
Go ahead.
Look,
let
me finish what I'm saying before you interject. Is that okay?
Go.
So I want you to consider writing down the chronology of how to put forth a marketing plan for an event, say, for instance. Just do, you know, like what's first, what's second, what's third, and then a little notation, any little notation that you might want to insert about the
I'll call you on the sidebar so we ain't got to take up the rest.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. However
I'll
that goes,
you,
and I can write it down.
No. We're gonna write down something, but we're gonna have to put it down in grown man's terms. That's all. I'll give you a call after the show is over.
Okay, we can do that because I want to get serious about.
I know it. Me too. That's why I've been on here crying, because I am so serious about my ministry. Ain't got nothing to do with Rev. Rev ain't got nothing to do with my ministry. Okay, because when Rev is gone, I want the ministry to go on. So who's gonna be crying then? Who's gonna be talking too much then? I'm doing only things for God. Period. So please know me like that. When you're talking to me, you're talking to somebody that's just representing God. That's why everything I have. It's called the PIG or the Rev's Healing Foundation or Rev's Free Ride for a movie. Other than that, it's PIG, which is prayer and God. I got an organization that's all PIG. PIG Conglomerate, PIG Wholesalers, PIG Lock and Key, PIG Clean Cleaning Service, everything. I'm just wanting God's business to be represented. So, I'll call you after the phone call.
Okay.
All right. I yield.
Right on.
Just tuning in, you're listening to the Wise Words of One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio. The number is 515-605-9861. That's 515-605-9861. It's the Wise Words of One Gone Show, man, and we're here daily, Monday through Friday, 9 to 11 Pacific time, 12 to 2 Eastern Standard Time. And I want to thank our listeners out in, let's see, I got Canada on here, UK on here, Kenya on here, Uganda on here, and 89% of listeners are in America. So we want to thank you, but we're trying to get back to the Netherlands. We used to have a couple of callers that used to call in the Netherlands, and so I'm asking that you all call back in because they have a good outtake on life. Over there in the Netherlands, it's different than America, man. They don't walk around with guns. They ain't shooting each other over there. They ain't killing one another. They ain't lying on one another. The Netherlands work together in harmony. You don't hear too many crime stories from the Netherlands, right? They had one maybe 8 years ago where a guy went on a rampage, and it was a shocking event there. It was a very shocking, right? And so just want to thank our listeners worldwide. It is the Wise Words of One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm DJ One Gone, and the host with the most is Mr. Marvell Wilson. We want to thank Miss Clarice for calling in today. Mark the Disciple, Rev, Bishop Williams, Uncle Joe, and the many listeners that are out there, we just thank you for being a part of this show. Without further ado, we have 3 minutes left. I'll give it to the host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson. Marvell?
Okay, I spoke earlier about Valentine's Day as being, another a Mother's Day without the babies. But I'm going, in honor of that, I had written some things I'm going to share right quick that sort of like wraps up what we do, men do for our women. I'm glad that a day has been chosen each year to honor just how we both feel. A day that's designed so we'll keep it in mind that the bond that's between us is real. I'm equally as glad for the times that we've had and the growth and the progress we've made. And to hear you say I'm your Valentine is a very fine tribute to be paid. Is another. There are times I forget to tell you just how I truly feel. Then there are times when I just don't know. Not often, but I'm just keeping it real. What I didn't forget is that since we met, there's one thing which I am sure, that your presence has certainly enriched my life and helped me become more mature. Happy Valentine's Day to you, darling, to my girl. Right, folks?
Man, I can turn that into a song in 2 minutes.
We got to get together, Reb, you know.
Stop. That's
talking,
all you got to
start
do.
Start doing.
No,
Stop
all you
doing.
Got to do is be ready. All you got to do is be ready for Reb, period. See, you ain't got the studio
okay,
ready.
Man.
I'm talking about because Reb is always ready and revved up at that point, too.
Righto. Okay, Reb. Got you.
Well, we
Righto.
Had a nice show. I enjoyed it. Bye, y'all.
Right now. Yeah, man. I think both folks wrapped up in their Valentine's Day sentiments or something. We you know, our regular folks wasn't here, but we miss y'all. Let it be known, the guys that usually come in regularly, we miss y'all today, and hopefully you'll compensate by showing up tomorrow and showing out, and let's get this job done, and let's keep this momentum going, and let's keep our people stirred up and excited about what's going to happen for us in the future in the United States of America. Thank you, and have a good day.